CD 4.
Said the apparition. Uncommon sense, which, despite Granny Weatherwax's general belief that McGrath was several sticks short of a bundle, she still had insufficiency, pointed out that few demons tinkle pathetically and appeared to be quite so breathless. Hello, she said. The fool's mind was also working hard. He was beginning to panic. McGrath shunned the traditional pointed hat, as worn by the older witches, but she still held on to one of the most fundamental rules of witchcraft. It's not much use being a witch unless you look like one. In her case, this meant lots of silver jewellery with octograms, bats, spiders, dragons, and other symbols of everyday mysticism. McGrath would have painted her fingernails black, except that she didn't think she would be able to face Granny's withering scorn. It was dawning on the fool that he had surprised a witch.
Oops,
he said, and turned to run for it. Don't, McGrath began, but the fool was already pounding down the forest path that led back to the castle. McGrath stood and stared at the wilting posy in her hands. She ran her fingers through her hair, and a shower of wilted petals fell out. She felt that an important moment had been allowed to slip out of her grasp as fast as a greased pig in a narrow passageway. She felt an overpowering urge to curse. She knew a great many curses. Goody Wemper had been really imaginative in that department. Even the creatures of the forest used to go past her cottage at a dead run. She couldn't find a single one that fully expressed her feelings. Oh, bugger, she said. It was a full moon again that night, and most unusually, all three witches arrived at the Standing Stone early. It was so embarrassed by this, it went and hid in some gorse bushes.
"Grebo hasn't been home for 2 days," said Nanny Ogg as soon as she arrived. "It's not like him. I can't find him anywhere."
"Cats can look after themselves," said Granny Weatherwax. "Countries can't. I have intelligence to report. Light the fire, McGrath."
"Hmm?"
"I said light the fire, McGrath."
"Hmm? Oh, yes."
The two old women watched her drift vaguely across the moorland, tugging absently at dried-up wind clumps. McGrath seemed to have her mind on something.
"Doesn't seem to be her normal self," said Nanny Ogg.
"Yes, could be an improvement,"
said Granny shortly, and sat down on a rock.
"She should have got it lit before we arrived. It's her job."
"She means well,"
said Nanny Ogg, studying McGrath's back reflectively.
"I used to mean well when I was a girl, but that didn't stop the sharp end of Goody Filter's tongue. Youngest witch serves her time, you know how it is. We had it tougher, too. Look at her. Doesn't even wear a pointy hat. How's anyone going to know?"
"You got something on your mind, Esme?" said Nanny.
Granny nodded gloomily.
"Had a visit yesterday," she said.
"Me too."
Despite her worries, Granny was slightly annoyed at this.
"Who from?"
she said.
"The mayor of Loncre and a bunch of burghers. They're not happy about the king. They want a king they can trust."
"I wouldn't trust any king a burgher could trust," said Granny.
"Yes, but it's not good for anyone, all this taxing and killing folk. That new sergeant they've got is a keen man when it comes to setting fire to cottages, too. Old Verence used to do it too, mind, but, well..."
I know, it was more personal," said Granny. "You felt he meant it. People like to feel they're valued."
"This Felmet hates the kingdom," Nanny went on. "They all say it. They say when they go to talk to him, he just stares at them and giggles and rubs his hand and twitches a bit."
Granny scratched her chin.
"The old king used to shout at them and kick them out of the castle, mind. He used to say he didn't have no time for shopkeepers and such," she added, with a note of personal approval.
"But he was always very gracious about it," said Nanny Ogg. "And he..."
"The kingdom is worried,"